We are in a day and age where we battle. We are in a struggle against an enemy. And an enemy that wants to destroy. And lies abound. Lies abound. And as we go through this life, as we face this struggle, it's important for us to remember where our foundation is and to work together to walk in the truth. We are walking the narrow road that leads to salvation. We are not turning to the right or turning to the left, but we are keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We find ourselves in Colossians chapter 2 tonight, and I'd kind of like to pick up where I left off last week, and would like to read first from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. As for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And last week we talked about how we are in what it says there, a conflict, a great conflict, a conflict to know the truth and to live the truth. And last week we said that that word conflict or struggle is the same word that we see in a verse that we know well, that we've heard many times, Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and the weight which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I love that next part. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." That word in there, race. I guess if I was reading race in Hebrews chapter 12, and conflict in Colossians chapter 2, I think that they were two different things. But I think it's important for us to understand, as we walk this narrow road of this journey of life, that the race that we are running is a conflict. It's a struggle, and we have an enemy that wants to destroy. And last week we talked about how we need to do some things to avoid deceit. We talked about encouraging one another. And I guess I can kind of flip through. Actually, Matt, it might be easier for you if I'm just going to skip the review questions this week. If you just want to go right past that, you could do that a lot faster than I can click through that. But last week we talked about how we need to be encouraged. We need to comfort each other. I like to comfort people. I enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. When I see a young person who has struggled and it has been a battle, and sometimes math class or English class or science class or history class can be a struggle. And I love it when a young person who has struggled works hard and they achieve something. I really try to go out of my way to make sure that they know that I am proud of their achievement. And I like to encourage them. And I like to encourage people when I see them serving the Lord and doing something that would be very difficult to do. Tonight I saw one of those moments as I saw Karen, the song didn't go off according to plan. I would have been done. I would have just said, let's skip it, go on with something else. But I saw great courage there as I saw her go back and fix that song and then come back up here and do an excellent job. I don't know if I could have done the same. That encouraged me, and I hope it encouraged you too to see somebody with that resolve. And being knit together, and we talked about how that's like the intertwining of the fibers of a muscle. And as Christians, that's how we need to work together as a body to stand together in the truth. We need to move together, to work together, to grow together, to struggle together. I heard this week that it's terrible for somebody that wants to get in shape to just work out one part of their body. Somebody goes to the gym and they want to get strong, so they just do bicep curls. And that's all they work on is that bicep muscle. That's not very good for you. Need to work the whole thing, the whole body. And we as a church, we need to work the whole body, work together. And when one part of us is struggling, we need to come alongside, pray, encourage, build up. And that's going to be good for the whole body, to feed the whole body, to encourage, to admonish each other, and not neglect one part, but to have our foundation on this Word of God. And then having a full assurance, the understanding of the truth, the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, this church was undergoing something, that there was more to this faith in Jesus Christ. That's what they were being attacked with. That you needed Christ plus. And sometimes, in churches today, that's what you will hear. That Jesus Christ isn't enough. That you need some special experience. But Jesus Christ is where our foundation is. And as we get further into this book, we're going to talk about that more. About how our hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You don't need a special experience beyond your salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is going to do some amazing things through the body of believers. You are going to be amazed as He transforms your life. And the way He answers prayer and He grows you and he conforms you to the image of His Son. But it all comes back to Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that Paul, as he goes through this, he's always coming back to Jesus. He'll present a problem and the solutions for it. And he's going to come back to Jesus. And one of those things, and the thing that we're talking about here, is that there was some hidden knowledge that you need. And the devil, in the battle of the chess match for your soul, is constantly moving his pieces, working in ways that seem as if he may be winning. I described it to the Sunday school class this morning. The devil may be moving two or three steps ahead of us, but God's already got the devil in checkmate, and he's won the victory, and he knows every move that his adversary could make, and he's won the day. This week, I was having a conversation. I was standing next to a man, and it was a man that I knew and another man that I never met. He said, "You're a pastor. I'd like to ask you, mediums and psychics, are they real? And is there a difference between them? I'd like your opinion on them." And so I immediately said, "Well, I think the Bible has some things to say about that and has some answers. There's a story in 1 Samuel where there's a man by the name of Saul. A man who at one time was a servant of the Lord. He spoke the word of God and he presented that to the people. But when he got into a trouble in his life, he went to a medium, the Witch of Endor, and had a conversation with her. I said to him, you can find this at the end of the book of 1 Samuel. And I said, he went and both the medium and Saul himself were shocked when the Lord sent Samuel with a message. And the message was that Saul was going to die on the battlefield. And within 24 hours, he was dead. That's a warning. And so when I hear people talk about mediums and psychics, I'm sure there are charlatans out there who are pretending. But I also know that the devil is real, and he is not to be messed with lightly. And I had another situation where some kids came to me and they said, "Mr. Wilson, have you heard of..." And they told me this thing on the internet. I said, "No, I've never heard of that." And so they wanted to tell me. I said, "No, this is not the time for that. If you want to talk, ask me a question about it later, go ahead and come ask me." So they asked me a question. And I wanted to get to the bottom of it, so I looked up and I read what it was. And I think in the day and age where we have this internet, kids are being fed that there is some mystical thing out there that you can find out about, and things that are being hidden from you, and that's a very real problem with what people see and what they hear. And so I came back and I said, I think there's an answer to your question. And I gave them what I felt was an adequate answer. And I said, there's one truth when you have questions like this. I'm sure you will hear these types of things, but there's one truth you need to know. Is that we have Jesus Christ, who is the author of creation, and he is the sustainer of this creation, and he's got a plan and an order in it all, and the truth comes back to him. And so Paul, in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 4, says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." If it's a psychic, a medium, the internet, persuasive speech. They're going to try to get you to believe what they want you to hear. I know this boy, this 15-year-old boy, that almost every time I talk to him, he is convinced that man never landed on the moon. And he's got a million and one reasons. Because he's listened to someone who's a smooth talker and can persuade someone of his position. And we have a lot of people that are easily persuaded by what they hear and can be convinced of the things that they hear. And he says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see you, see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. If we are under attack, if in this cosmic chess match, one of the pieces that the devil is going to use is persuasive speech to deceive you to believing the lie, we need to protect the truth. Protect the truth. The children of Israel, so often, as we read the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, were under attack. Whether it be the Amalekites, the Midianites, as they are going into the promised land and they do battle against the cities of Jericho or Ai, they are under attack. And it's interesting. If their strategy was to have a focus that was on their God, Yahweh, not the gods of their neighbors, but their God, Yahweh, the great I am, the battle was the Lord's, and the Lord took care of them, and he protected them. If their plan, if their thoughts were on something else, if there was sin in the camp, then it didn't matter what their strategy was, they would often fail. They needed to be grounded in God. And there's a couple of words in here that we see. It says, being in good order. And the other word there is standing steadfast. Those words both have this idea of military formation and protection. And so Paul's point here, the thing that he's trying to get across, is you are going to face lies. You are going to face things that are not true. And when you do that, you need to have a good defense. You, as a body of believers, need to be in good order. You need to be in rank and have the right position. And you need to stand steadfast as soldiers of the Lord. And that was something that they needed. And yesterday, here at the church, when we had that funeral, as I was thinking about today, this brought into mind exactly what I wanted to talk about today. Yesterday was a tragedy. There are a lot of hurting people. Those servicemen, they came here for support and to stand with each other as their duty. And they came with that honor and respect. And they stood in formation. And they stood for each other. And it's important for us as believers, as we are living this life, that we have the same respect, honor, and dedication, that we stand for each other and with each other. And it says that we need to stand in good order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Remember again, Paul, this book, the Christ-centered gospel in the New Testament. If you're being fed lies, you guys need to stand together as a body of believers, and you need to protect the truth. And here's the truth that you need to protect: Jesus Christ. And so as we think about that, I'd like us to turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. And as we read Joshua chapter 5, I'd like us to think about the lies that we are being fed. We have a media that is constantly putting in front of our eyes lies. Things designed to, and arrows from our enemy that are meant to destroy you, your faith in Jesus Christ, your testimony before the world. And we are to stand strong together to protect each other. And our foundation ought to be on Jesus Christ, our Master and Commander. In Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, it says these words, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us, or are you for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so." As I look at this passage here, and I think about us standing strong as an army of the Lord, protecting our faith in Jesus Christ and keeping his place as the person and object of our faith and our hope of salvation. And the number one thing that this church stands on, I think about this passage. Jesus Christ is the commander of our army. And as Joshua realizes that, he falls to his face and he worships the commander of this army. And we were having this discussion this week on Wednesday night, and we said, well, what's going on here? And Pastor Baker and I both said, this is probably a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ before he came to this earth. And you want to know why we think that? It's because if you read like in the book of Revelation, when John bows down to worship an angel, the angel says, get up off your feet, for I'm just like you and I don't deserve this worship. There's only one who deserves that worship. That's Jesus Christ. And this commander of the Lord's army, when Joshua gets down and worships, he doesn't say, get up. No, I don't deserve that. I'm just like you. He says, no, take off your shoes, for the place you are standing on is holy ground. That sounds like the voice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we think about the devil trying to attack us on all sides, the lies coming in, we need to be prepared for battle. Standing in rank and in good order, steadfast for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ought to give him the praise and glory that is due to him. And we ought to acknowledge him as our commander in chief, as our Savior, as the one who goes before us. He is our Lord and Savior. Let's pray this evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have died for us. And that you have surrounded us with believers who will stand next to us on those hard days. And when the lies fly at us from all directions, that we can rest in the fact that we are following the one who has already won the battle. the one who has already had the victory over our enemy. And I pray, Lord, today that we will stand with each other and hold each other up strong in the faith and keep our eyes and our faith fixed on Jesus Christ. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.